Well, thanks very much for taking the time to be interviewed for Global Voices online. Your blog has been a refreshing change from the usual mix of political and very serious and usually depressing blogs from the South Caucasus region. When did you start blogging, and why did you start blogging?
It's a hard question to answer because everybody blogs these days. So I just felt I'd try it and see if anyone read it. And also just had this overwhelming desire to write something. And I thought the whole culture clash would be funny and interesting. So I just thought I'd give it a go. And it's been quite refreshing, really. something for me to do instead of watching telly in the evenings.
That's an honest answer, I guess. For people who don't know about your blog, maybe you can tell them the name. And also, interestingly, why did you choose the name?
It's a joke going around in my household. Me and my husband, we sort of joke calling me Scary Azeri. It just rhymes. It's very easy to remember. So it's called Scary Azeri. It doesn't imply anything, like some people try to ask me, whether it means anything that I'm scary or the nation is scary. Of course it's not. It's just a humorous blog. It talks about culture clash, about someone who is ex-Soviet from a Muslim republic coming somewhere like England. And I thought, originally I thought it would just be for my friends to learn more about where I'm from and what it's really like. But then a lot of people can relate to it, surprisingly. So I'm getting more readers. People are interested to learn what it's really like from someone who is talking not sort of, you know, Soviet speak. We are so great and everything is so perfect, because nobody is great and perfect. So it's just natural and it's honest. I think that's the bottom line.
And so when did you set the blog up?
I think it was February. Yes, so it's about 4 months now, 4 or 5 months only. It's quite fresh, quite new.
And you're still excited to blog, or does sometimes it get frustrating for you? I mean, does it take up much of your time?
It does actually take, my husband will say it takes too much of my time. I sort of do it every night, really. You just sit there, you check who's visited you, who left you any comments. It's a catching disease. You just sit there and you always think about what you're going to say next. It's almost like a second job that doesn't pay you anything. but it's fun. It's really quite exciting still, I think. Even when I get negative feedback, it's still exciting.
Actually, let's just deal with that. I mean, a number of my friends in Azerbaijan have read your blog, and I was rather surprised that many of them really liked it. I mean, you can actually really get very close to some very sensitive issues, but they found it refreshing too. I mean, has generally the response been good from most readers?
Yes, I think there are certain people, especially back home, who are just taking themselves a little bit too seriously. And I think that was the issue with the whole Borat movie, when Kazakh people got really insulted, because people take certain things personally and they don't want to talk about it because they don't see the funny side, they don't want anyone to laugh at them. And I think that can be a problem. I don't think my blog is mean or nasty towards either countries, the UK or back home. I think it's quite nice and funny to laugh out ourselves, and it's a good thing to do. But I was surprised that most of the readers were very positive, and they quite liked it. Occasionally you get someone who tells me off, but that's just funny.
Yeah,
it's quite good.
You have your own loyal little troll. I mean, did that never make you think, why the hell am I doing this if I get people like this sending me abusive and insulting messages?
I think when you set yourself out there, you know, for anyone to read, and I made that blog really quite personal. I take, you know, responsibility for what I say. You have to be prepared that something like that would happen. And in a way, it makes it even, in some strange way, it makes it more exciting, because you realize it's not just your friends who are reading it and saying how great you are and how beautiful your writing is. It's actually realistic, and there are some people who get very, very angry. That makes me think I've touched on something sensitive, perhaps. So no, it's been fun. But yeah, he's pretty devoted. He's a good devoted reader.
At least he's loyal, right?
Yes.
Another thing that's also struck me as well, and I think as well, you have a loyal support base in Georgia and in Armenia. I think that some of the issues you touch upon are not necessarily peculiar to Azerbaijan. I mean, they exist in a lot of former Soviet republics. Do you get a sense?
Definitely, yes. I think that a lot of, not just Georgia and Armenia, I really do think that a lot of the issues I talk about, which are just, you know, normal day-to-day living, really, and cultural things, they are easy to relate to when you are from back home anywhere. Because I had people write to me from Ukraine and Russia and say, oh my God, that's just so similar. And it's quite interesting. I quite like it. I quite enjoy the fact that so many people can find it interesting and amusing and they can relate to it.
But I noticed you've actually also started tweeting as well. How do you find that?
That's been quite interesting. There's quite a big following growing there now. It's a very new thing to do, and so I haven't quite sussed out where it's going to end up. But at the moment, that's the thing to do. Everybody's tweeting. I find it interesting. It's a very quick way to catch up with everything that's going on as well.
I mean, I actually have your Twitter page in front of me, and of course I'll put links on the page where this podcast is embedded. But, I mean, one of the posts, I noticed one of your tweets is about a virginity restoration post that you did. And it was translated into Russian, and but you seem to be quite delighted about the response it's provoked, I guess.
I think when you write something, it's always good when you get some sort of response. It doesn't have to be all positive. There is a newspaper online, contact.com.az, and they've been asking me to write for them. So I occasionally take a blog post and I translate it into Russian. And the editor thought it would be thought-provoking to come up with something more controversial. And one of my older postings was about the value of innocence back home and how sometimes it's just a bit, in my opinion, outdated, and how people paid for restoring virginity. So when I put that up on my blog, it obviously turned out that it happens in some other countries. And in fact, it happens in the UK now, which I found shocking.
Well, that was the that was the point of your post, wasn't it, I think?
Sorry?
That was the point of your post. Wasn't it something about the National Health Service or...
Yes, about how different cultures that come to live in the UK actually have a bigger effect on this country's culture than a lot of people probably anticipated. And they're talking about providing virginity restoration on NHS now. I thought that was quite interesting. But yes, it provoked a lot. When it was translated into Russian, obviously it had a huge discussion going on the newspaper, which I guess the whole point of putting it up there was for the editor. Well, people reading it and reacting to it and arguing about it.
I mean, I think that's great, actually, that blogs can suddenly transfer themselves into the traditional media to raise issues which are probably being discussed in private but haven't been until now, perhaps, being discussed in public.
Well, I think that's the whole point and beauty of blogging, because I don't know how about the rest of the world, but I do think that in any ex-Soviet republics, we still have this tendency, or the media still has the tendency to talk in a very official, ex-Soviet, we are so great sort of language. And people are bored of that. And blogs are just refreshing, and they're honest, and people can just say what they want. Joke about things, make fun of things, and that's the whole point.
But do you think that there would be any issue that you wouldn't touch?
I'm not sure. I haven't faced it yet, because I talk about things that bother me or I find amusing in some way. I try not to get very personal. I try not to use any names or insult friends. I mean, obviously, there are situations in life when I'd like to say something about people, but I know that I wouldn't, because I don't want to have no real friends, just virtual friends.
Well, virtual friends can be cool.
But yes, but I don't want to insult a lot of virtual friends either, because it's nice to have friends.
But it's really encouraging to hear that your posts are being taken up. How many blog posts has contact.com.az published so far?
Oh, Don't remember. I think about 4 or 5 in total. I just haven't got a lot of time because I need to translate it, and it's surprisingly difficult. Even though my first language is Russian, it's hard for me to translate it back into Russian from English. So it takes up some time, and I'm not sure it looks that good. but it's been good.
And another, and there was a magazine also that did a double-page spread by you or about you. What exactly was the story behind that in Baku?
Oh, it was just I approached In Baku magazine, which is, I think, the only glossy expatriate magazine back home. And the editor lady really liked my blog, and she thought it would be very relevant for expats and locals who work with expats to read it. So she featured a double page. It was great. And another one, I believe, is coming out in June. But I'm not sure what's going to happen afterwards. We'll see. Because I think they're changing management. Usual Azeri issues in-house.
And this is very definitely a direction that you want to follow. You want to do actually more writing offline as well, I gather.
I'd really like it I've always liked writing. I always wanted to do it. Since I've moved countries, and I've been here now for 9 years, I was confused whether I should try to write in Russian or I should try to write in English, and it's bizarrely confusing, actually, for someone like me. So blogging was great because it made me realize that the novel I tried and attempted to write sounded pretty wooden. Once you start talking to people live online, it's been fun, and it made me realize that there's a lot more practice I need to do. But I'd like to do it for a living. That would be great one day, maybe.
And you mentioned about this culture clash. I mean, in a sense, I guess you have that culture clash in you every day. I think you might have even said this one time, you can take the girl out of Azerbaijan, but you can't take the Azerbaijani out of the girl or the Baku or something like this.
Yeah.
Do you find this is also a release for you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very therapeutic. Definitely. And the more I blog, the more I reveal certain personal things. It's not easy, and I said that before. Marriage is not easy. Men and women living together, it's, you know, you can talk about that for ages on its own. And when you mix a little bit of culture clash in there, it becomes quite funny. Since my mother arrived for a visit, my head's been exploding with topics I could talk about on my blog for at least a couple of months, because it's just endless.
So that's what we now have in store for us. Are these ideas actually going to be posted, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
And actually, just talking about your husband and your mother, I mean, they obviously know you blog. What do they think?
Oh, I think my mom is one of my most devoted readers, obviously. She's not biased or anything. She thinks it's great. My husband, I wouldn't say he reads a lot of it, but because I discuss every single posting with him in detail, I think he probably feels exhausted by talking about it. So he doesn't have to actually sit down and read it. He's very encouraging. They're both very, very good about that. And my parents-in-law, in fact, read it occasionally and give me ideas.
And so what lies in store then for the readers of your blog and the followers on Twitter? How would you encourage them to stay tuned and to keep on coming back? If you had a message for them, what would it be?
Ooh, difficult. I just really try to continue writing about something that they might relate to. I've got a few ideas in my head. I'm hosting an interesting American writer who writes about culture clash from American point of view in a couple of days, so that should be interesting sort of turn. So, you know, if they enjoy it, if they like my writing, then I'd love them to come back, obviously. That's all I can say.
I hope
to keep it going.
I think you've set a great precedent for a certain type of blog in this region. As you say, there are loads of mummies who are blogging, but I think not quite with the acerbic tongue that you have from time to time. So, I think a lot of people are following your blog, and thanks very much for taking the time to speak to me.
No, it's been great. Thank you.
And if there's anything you'd like to add, please feel free to.
Not really. It's just been great, and thank you as well for this interview and a couple of links you've put to my blog that have been very helpful. And because of the whole Global Voices thing, I met quite interesting people back home that I didn't even know existed and made some good friends. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Excellent. Well, no problem. Thanks very much.